DJ Espo here hanging out. About to have a few beers with my friends. We're taking it deeper than the pint with Mechanistic Brewing Company of Clarion. And before me is George Alexander and Chelsea Alexander, owner operators of Mechanistic, and Martin Burkery, alternate brewmaster and face of Spatula Monkey Barbecue. So welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Right. Thank you for coming on board. This is something brand new we're doing. We'll get into the beer. We'll get into some background information. But you two are the owners of Mechanistic Brewing Company, and that is what we are here to highlight, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome and stuff. I just couldn't let the opportunity go by. You know, we were shut down, you know, kind of by our choice, kind of by circumstances, but we were shut down for a little bit. And so this gives us a second chance to open up with a brand new lineup. Right. Which is super exciting.
Right.
It feels like a rebirth.
Right. Like a rebirth. Right. We all had to persevere the COVID-19 pandemic, make it through that. And it looks like we're finally seeing some light on the other side of the tunnel. So
definitely.
We're ready.
Right. We are really ready.
And everybody's ready. Right. Everybody's so excited. And we're excited just because of that.
Okay, well, let's talk about reopening dates, times. When can people expect to come and have some beer?
This Friday and Saturday, April 9th and April 10th, both days from 4 to 9, we're going to have Martin serving his barbecue. He's got a good lineup. The beers are drinking great. So we're excited. Friday, okay. Saturday, 4 to 9. And then our hours are going to get a little complicated as the summer goes on. We're really hoping to expand, and we're working with new staff. You guys will see new faces. You'll see the same familiar faces. It's going to be fun.
For sure. For sure. All right. So, George, background information. All right.
All right.
Got a couple of questions for you and Martin and how this dynamic duo came to be. All right. So behind the scenes. All right. How it all works. So, George, how did Mechanistic Brewing Company come to be? What initially sparked your interest?
So it took us a long time. Like, kind of my background was in chemistry, and I sit at a desk most of the day. And so the brewery was an opportunity to kind of get back into the laboratory and experiment and research.
Okay.
But then the brewery was quite a few years in planning. I bet it was six or seven years in planning.
It was a long time. It was like our road trip topic of choice. What's your 5 beers on your lineup?
Right.
I mean, you did a lot of touring before.
And you did a lot of exploring.
Yeah. And just a lot of reading, a lot of tasting, of course. That's the best part. A lot of traveling. I mean, beer tourism is alive and well.
And we love to hunt out the best beers. Like, okay, who makes the best New England IPA? Who makes the best brown American brown ale? And just travel and find it and taste it and see what the best is all about.
Right.
And then learn from that.
One thing that's cool about our tap list is it really challenges us to have this wide range of different styles, from old beers to new beers to, you know, European beers to US beers. And I feel like George and I traveling around, you know, we could go to some of the best places, but me personally, I don't want to drink 10 IPAs. They all start to come together and taste the same. And you know, so we really try to challenge ourselves with our categories of beer.
Right. And we learned a lot from doing tasting events around town. And that's actually how we met Martin. We had a tasting event at the store.
Okay.
And so it was a long time before we actually crossed paths with Martin.
Okay.
With Martin.
Now, a little background information on you, Martin. You're a home brewer. You were initially.
Yep.
It looks like you have scaled up. How did you two
meet
and bond? And what has happened and transpired since that initial meeting?
Right. So let's see here. What happened was...
I mean, you came to one of our tastings.
Right. Now, I do have you as the alternate brewmaster, because you do handle things behind the scenes.
Right.
You are brewing tons of beer. You do bring some expertise and experience to the table, your recipes, and your style and approach to it. So, yeah, elaborate a little more on how you met George, some of that process behind the scenes.
Right. So, it basically came down to coming to one of his tastings.
And then, I mean... Martin was doing barbecue, but I don't know how we knew about your barbecue.
So I originally met you guys at one of your tastings, and then I just basically kept coming around like a little cat.
Oh, I was going to say that.
I got in trouble because we talked at the brew pub for hours before we opened. You were talking about doing the barbecue.
Basically the food part of it and stuff like that, and it was just like, give me a chance. I'll come cook for you. We'll see what happens.
Right.
And
Martin
just built from there.
Martin was doing food pop-ups with his friends, and his friends who like Helen from Clarion University, people, we have some mutual friends, and they're like, dude, Martin's food is really good.
Right.
And so it was our very first night of opening, and Martin was like, I'll do barbecue for you guys. And it was like our soft opening. And then Martin rolled in the parking lot with this huge smoker. And he had like spatula monkey on it. And I was like, I mean, my jaw dropped, and I got on Facebook instantly, and I was like, guys, this was supposed to be a soft opening, but just everybody come. Just come. Wow.
Complete overkill was, is Martin style. Yeah. Okay. If a two is sufficient, Martin will still bring a 10.
Right. Awesome.
That's like your wood-fired oven, George.
Right. So kind of like a match made in heaven. But perfect then, harmony, right?
Then we trusted Martin. Martin came down. He took care of the place. He cleaned up after himself. We kind of built that friendship just through food.
Right, right.
And then it was like last January where I walked into the brew room and Martin was like, inside a tank cleaning up after George, and I was like, Martin, we got to get you on payroll. Like, right, yeah. We need our insurance to cover you.
Right, for sure. For sure, putting in that work behind the scenes. And there's a lot that goes into the process, from milling the grains and just taking it step by step to make that perfect product. And then, you know, not reinventing the wheel, but going back to those recipes, tweaking them ever so slightly, and then getting a response instantly from the clients and customer base. So pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's quite the process. And yeah, every batch we were trying to do different things and learn new things.
We've learned a ton, and you guys have honed in on the equipment. You're like, dude, my efficiency was, I don't know, all this stuff that is beyond me, but
it's kind of like golf, like how people are always trying to perfect their game. It's kind of like the same for us with brewing. Like, we're always trying to make a better beer.
All right, well, let's get into it. Let's get into the beer. You brought a few different options. Are these all going to be on the menu?
These are all on the menu right now. They're pouring great. Right now, we're going to just start with our lightest beer. This is would be on our tap number one, our light and crisp category. So this is a German Pilsner. I'll let you get a good whiff of it, Espo. But this is just like a nice way to start the group. This would be for somebody that would really want a light beer that would come in and just want to hang out. They don't want, you know, too much flavor to...
Nice.
Smack them in the face.
Sweet aromatics are there. Taste a little malt tint, little sweetness on the backbone. Very nice, clean.
Yeah.
Very clean and refreshing. Definitely refreshing.
You know, I didn't realize this before, but right now I'm really getting a nice wine.
Wine character. You're like a white wine.
Yeah, totally.
And a little bit of a floral note too, kind of with some of the hops.
For sure.
So would that be the German hops? What are the typical?
So yeah, Hallertau or Mittelfrüh is what we used in this, and that's a very traditional kind of like, what do they call that hop in Germany? Like, it's kind of like the go-to, like...
Just the noble?
Yeah.
It's just noble. So, like, yeah, they've been using it for years.
It's kind of like the German powerhouse hops, like all-purpose, high quality.
Okay, so like a standard. Yeah, this is nice, light, refreshing.
He's already
drinkability.
Done with this. Holy cow. Okay,
10 out of 10, real high.
Give me less, give Espo more, moving forward. Espo's gone.
It's very approachable.
Yeah, totally. Very approachable. If you have somebody that is uncertain about the realm of breweries, or, you know, they think it's IPA dominant, they're uncertain of where to go or how to make that initial approach, this is that. Can do that and be that.
If you just want to come in, you're focused on chatting with your friends, you want to have a couple and not be bogged down, this is amazing.
Yeah, I think this beer...
It still comes in at 5.9, right?
Yeah, it's on the higher end for a Pilsner.
Pretty nice, though.
Yeah.
Refreshing,
still
smooth.
Still has a lot of flavor, but easy to drink.
Now, what would you pair with this in the barbecue realm? What would be the pairing?
Yeah. So some nice light pulled pork.
Okay.
Would go nice with that. Try to keep it light on the barbecue sauce so you just don't get that mix of...
Okay.
That too much ketchupiness to it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Overdo barbecue sauce.
So kind of the purest approach.
A lot of it, I don't like to put a lot of barbecue sauce on my stuff.
Right.
Like, I let people do it themselves.
Right. I'm more of like a traditionalist, just no sauce kind of guy.
Right.
It's kind of how I'm rocking, you know, just give me the meat. But yeah, this is real nice. This is light, airy, real fragrant on the nose. I like it a lot. It tastes real nice.
Yeah, this is George's number one. that we like to compete. Sometimes
okay.
I usually get the number two spot on
okay,
the taps.
Okay.
And we always like, who's selling more tonight?
Right, right, right. Yeah. Yeah, this is definitely going to be something I think people gravitate to. What was the percentage on it?
5.9.
Oh, yeah. That's nice, smooth. That's like my comfort zone right there. You know, the 4 to 6 range. That's kind of where I like to hang out at. So, yeah, exciting. That was nice.
I don't know if it's like a guy thing to like really dive in and obsess about something, but I know many guys kind of do that. And I feel like Pilsners are George's obsession for 2021.
Yeah,
for, sure. Okay. for 2021.
So like it started out researching the IPA, like the New England IPA.
Right.
That was just like you put a ton of time into it.
Yeah.
You were like obsessed with listening to podcasts, every article, reading like a ton. And so that was like our 2019, like we have to nail the IPA.
And then 2020 was the Imperial Milk Stout. That was my research focus last year. So we came out with that over Christmas.
Right, we had all the bottles. We still have a few bottles,
right.
And we still have available for a very short time when we open that Imperial Milk Stout on draft. So that's exciting too. But it's a huge beer. It's like 8.5%. It is like prune and raisin, and I didn't bring any today, but you know, today is a Pilsner day.
Okay. That's all right. Yeah, I'm definitely feeling that. The Pilsner is shining bright, clean. I think this is everybody's beer. You know,
definitely.
Everybody can enjoy this. This is something that isn't too one-dimensional. It's very clean. It's just what you need. Refreshing, light, easy to drink. And I think that's what people are going to be looking for the spring and summer, you know? You obviously have your hop heads, as I like to call them, the people who are, like, chasing that hop. They want more. They want a big bang beer. And this is on the lighter side of the spectrum. So, as you said, Martin, approachable.
Right.
And I like that a whole lot. So, yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. What else do you have for me? You got some more?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, boy.
So we're working on our way to number two. Martin, do you want to introduce that one?
Oh. Is it going to be the...
We're working on the name.
Yeah, right. We're teasing Martin about the name.
Yeah.
Giving him a hard time.
So, all right. So it's a Belgian wit. It comes in at about 6%. And then the IBUs are a little bit more or less. They're less than the Pilsen even.
Oh, wow.
So, like, they're 13. So, it's, like, going to be, like, super, super, super approachable as far as the hops go. And then the process we use, too, is totally different in some aspects. So, we try to keep the hop profile as clean as possible.
Okay.
So, you're not getting any of the polyphenols to come across and make things harsh.
All right. So, sweet. Now, this is the wit.
But, yeah. So,
now...
Traditionally,
right?
They are it's a spiced wheat ale.
Okay,
and this one's been around for like 400 years. Right?
Yeah, this historically, that's about a 400-year-old beer.
Right.
Now the thing of the orange in the beer, is that sacrilegious or what? Is that like, or is that a
like
part
actually
of,
putting on the as a garnish? You mean
some people put it in the beer?
Oh yeah, but, well, there's already orange peel in it too.
Okay.
So.
I really like fruit.
Yeah.
On the side, and everybody likes to see a little wedge orange or lemon or lime.
Yeah,
oh,
it
yeah.
just gives that it's appearance of freshness.
Okay. So it's more about appearance than it
and
is.
And on the nose, like when you drink it and you get that little whiff of citrus, it's like, ooh, I like this. This is so fresh.
It definitely accentuates the spices that are in the beer.
Right. Any coriander?
When you do that? Yeah, absolutely.
You got it.
Yeah, there's coriander and some grains of paradise.
Okay.
George wouldn't let me put any cumin in it, so.
Okay.
I second that.
That would keep the barbecue like, with the barbecue and the beer
right,
with beer.
Okay.
I like
okay.
cumin in my tacos, but I don't know if I like it.
I'm going to make one at home that has cumin in it.
Okay.
And then I'm going to make George try it.
Right, okay. Okay, you think that's like a secret weapon.
Right.
Okay. All right, for sure. We're taking it deeper than the pint. This is awesome. And yeah, we are on to number two, the wit. Now, what was the process like brewing this one, George? How did it start? Some of the ingredients, some of the
who did
some
all
of your
the...
trade secrets?
I think this was more of this was Martin's recipe. I think really high wheat content.
I brought it here with me because I come prepared.
Perfect.
But, I mean, we're not going to just, like, divulge every secret.
Not every, not all of it.
Chelsea
know.
Said not to.
Right. I mean, I had to prep these boys. I was like, guys, come on now.
Right, yeah. You can't give away everything, but, you know, a little something.
Yeah, but, I mean, traditionally it's 50% wheat, and then it's followed up with a Pilsen malt. And then you add some flakes, you know, some adjuncts and stuff.
Okay.
And then you can get a little bit more complex with different specialty grains in it.
Right.
Now, did you zest these, Martin? Because one time you did.
That was for the blood orange Hefeweizen. Right. I zested, peeled, zested 80 blood oranges for last year's blood orange Hefeweizen. And they wouldn't let me do it again this year.
Well, I feel like people, customers, you know, when you say it has this kind of fruit, they want to smell it, they want to taste it, they want to see it. And if it's not there in all three, you get disappointment. And that's the last thing we want, you know?
It is true. And it's hard to get the fruit to come out of the beer sometimes, especially some fruits. Orange seems to be the easiest.
Right.
It really does. It sticks with it. It stays. The biggest thing you got to watch is the pithiness of some of the
That can be
orange.
That bitter, acrid that bitter, taste.
Exactly, that bitter pith taste that you don't want.
Now, this is also on the approachable drinkability realm.
Right.
10 out of 10, real high score, real nice, light, refreshing also. So it can also be one of those entry-level beers, as I like to call them.
Absolutely.
Something you can slide into if you're familiar with some of the big names, like... who is that?
Blue Moon.
Blue Moon, huge. People frequent that a lot. And this is almost like a lighter approach to that, even more enjoyable. So, yeah, if you're a fan of that, you'll most certainly like this a whole lot.
Yeah. What's the other one? Hogarden.
Yeah.
Hogarden,
yeah. So, yeah, as Martin mentioned, this beer was a 400-year-old beer style. It went extinct until the 50s, and then it was resurrected by Hogarden.
Wow.
Pierre, where did they find
Pierre
it? Like,
Celis,
how do you find a recipe that old?
It was Pierre Celis or something, was it? And then they have Celis White.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how he found it. I don't know if it was in the literature. A lot of this information is documented in, like, old historical books. Like, you can buy old brewing books, like, in England from 500 years ago with old recipes in it.
Wow.
They're pretty cool. So
now,
I don't know
what
how
is
they
Allagash?
That's they a have white a... also. A Belgian. Yeah. That's a Belgian
Okay.
White,
that's one of my favorite, like, mainstream companies. Okay. I love Allagash stuff.
All right. Cool stuff. Okay, so we made it to beer number two. Where do we go from here? And how many are you featuring on the menu?
Okay. Oh, new updates on the taps, too. So we're really trying to push the boundaries here. But we've added another new tap number 7 that's going to be this experimental tap.
Okay.
So we really want the creativity to keep flowing.
Right.
And to keep challenging ourselves. So we have one, we don't have it on or with us today, but it will be on tap Friday and Saturday. It's a pineapple wit, which we're probably gonna call the pineapple whip. It's a little, we have some lactose in it to try to pull some sweetness in, but that's gonna be our first experimental tap. But I forgot where I was going there.
The different beers.
And the different taps.
Yeah, tap number 7, experimental
So we're
going
to have, and then tap 8, we're going to bring back the carbonic, our house hard seltzer. We didn't bring that. And then we still have Arsenal Cider from Pittsburgh. They do a great job, and I got a couple new pints of, or a couple new kegs of theirs, like some mead.
Right.
Also this rhubarb one that we'll bring out occasionally. Just awesome stuff.
Some variety. Okay, some new stuff, some new features on the menu. All right, awesome stuff. Okay, where are we headed next, George?
All right, so this is one of the most recent beer styles. So the first one, the German Pilsner, that's 1800s. Then the 400-year-old Belgian wit. This is a beer that style is only about 15 years old at this point. So this came about from Vermont, the alchemist Hetty Topper. So that hazy, everything used to be clearer the better. Then all of a sudden hazy IPAs came along.
Yeah.
Starting at the alchemist.
And the hops, a lot of people are afraid of hops, but these are not like the typical West Coast hops. Like the West Coast hops have that crazy bitterness.
Yeah.
This is not bitter. This is smooth. This is like drinking orange juice in the morning and...
Right. So this is the is this the IPA here?
This is the IPA. This is Espo's favorite.
And my fave. 10 out of 10, for sure.
You didn't even try it yet.
No, as soon as I saw the pour, I knew what it was. As soon as I saw the color, I was like, in the head on it, I was like, oh, you know, fireworks for sure. And the smell, crazy. One of my favorites. So intrinsic, you know. The on the nose, it just kind of lures you in. Definitely one of those, may I please have another, you know.
Right. And they are good.
They are good. Now, George, you've had many variations of this over the years, and I've been a part of the whole ride.
You've helped us brew one of these, I believe.
Yes, I did get to come and help, and that was real cool, being a part of the process, like just every step of the way, milling those grains down, getting everything all set up, pouring off the wort. It's just crazy. Cool process. Your hopping process. I won't too much about the process, but it was cool. It was cool to be a part of it, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. So this beer has been
our one that we've continued to experiment with more and more. So I guess this would be version 4.0.
See?
I don't even know how many batches we've done of it.
I'll have to look at my list.
And then we got, you kind of took it off on a different road for a little bit, and then we were trying to get it back on the old road, and...
Yeah, so we're constantly experimenting. Like, playing with the hops is a really sensitive parameter. Like, you get a lot of different flavors and bitterness with when you hop it and how much you hop it and which hops you use. So there's a lot of different levers to turn, to pull.
This is most certainly something special. It's dialed in. Definitely dialed in. A lot more control behind the wheel. You guys are doing your thing with this one. Very nice. Citra forward. Has that Citra essence, but it backs off ever so slightly as you get more involved into the pint, into the glass. So, yeah, this is real nice. I like this a lot.
Whereas some of our ones we had last year were a little bit more bitter. Like, we kind of had some people saying, I like a little bit more bitterness in the IPA. It's like, okay, well, let's take it that direction.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, then once we made a little bit more bitter, people were like, I liked it before.
Yeah, then we kind of lost our way a little.
This has all those hops in it, so it feels like it's going to be a really bitter beer.
But it backs off. Yes. Right, exactly. And that's where the control factor comes in for me. And that's what I meant by that, because I think I've had every version. 1, 2, 3, maybe even some that didn't make the list.
There were a couple like 2.3s and,
I think we've had a different version.
I've followed the circuit of... hazy IPAs here.
Right.
And the biggest thing is I think George is starting to finally figure out the process to eliminate the hop harshness, the hop, that bite, that polyphenol bite that you get if you use too many hops in the different processes. He's really put forth his time and energy to eliminate that. And as me as a customer and not anything else, would be like, all right, this is a very drinkable hazy IPA.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely has taken that transitional step, and it is way more approachable. Now, for me, I enjoyed all levels of it. I enjoyed it bitter. I enjoyed it colder, warmer, all the different variations, all the different recipes. But this one is definitely standing strong. It's nice, it's clean, and it's refreshing. It doesn't have that bite that you would traditionally get with any IPA. And I think that is a key to mastering it, is knowing when and where that hop, and how to dial it in.
That's my one criticism with, like, everybody goes nuts over Heady Chopper. And it's like, okay, well, we got to get our hands on some Heady Chopper. And once we did, I was like, it's a little too much for me.
It's a lot of hops.
It's a little, like, too aggressive, where I just want something kind of smooth.
I enjoy it, but I do feel like there is kind of a more recent trend, like with some of the Treehouse beers. Some of those are a little bit softer, more gentle, like Juice Machine. It doesn't
doesn't
have as much bite either.
And then when we were up in Vermont and we had Sip of Sunshine, I was like, this is a nice... And even now, it's still a little bit too much, but... It's much better for me than Heady Chopper. I like that Sip of Sunshine.
And IPAs are such, like, everybody has kind of like their personal preference, how much bitterness they want. So
it's like tea. How long do you steep your tea? How do you drink your coffee with milk, or do you drink it black? Like, it's just subjective.
if you are a fan of this beer and you've had Georgia's different variations of it, you will definitely like this one a whole lot. This is probably like one of my faves of those batches for sure. I'd
V2. Agree with you there.
Yeah, I like V2 a lot, thinking back in the earlier phases.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know, this one has more sweetness than your other ones. And for at the beginning, you were almost like timid with that sweetness. And now I think you're more comfortable with it.
Yeah, and so it is back to some of those original earlier versions a little bit. It's a little bit closer to those, but it still has a lot of body. And
yeah, it's nice.
All right, so before we get into the next one, I better rinse our glasses a little bit.
Oh,
yeah, these kind of worked their way out pretty well.
Right. But, you know, in the morning, sometimes when you're like coming down and you're really thirsty, and then you find like an orange juice and you start drinking it, and then you can't stop. You drink the whole cup of orange juice and you're like, holy cow, what was that? That's what I get with the IPAs. You just can't stop. I don't know.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. I don't know how to explain it.
But yeah, like the aftershock of it.
Yeah, or just that it quenches your thirst.
Right.
In a way that other beers don't for me.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Because it tastes like orange juice, right?
Yeah.
The hazy IPAs, they tend to feel like some orange juice, don't they? To me?
Definitely.
Yeah, they have like an orange juice-esque-ness to them.
Right, yeah.
Like Five Alive. Do you remember Five Alive?
Five Alive.
As a kid, my mom would buy like Five Alive. George, did you drink Five Alive?
Oh, the drink. Oh, the drink.
You're dating yourself.
Like five different, it's like orange, pineapple. What else is in Five Alive? I don't know, but
a few more.
We need to have a Five Alive IPA.
Oh, we should.
And do a milkshake and get some fruit going with the five. What is in Five Alive? I'll look it up.
Sweet, yeah, look it up.
All right. Google.
So all right. What we'll do is, like, because I can cut, so.
Okay.
Yeah, we can, I got a time right now, we can cut. So we'll just go into it. Say, all right, now beer number three. And because I'll probably make some edits to this.
Perfect.
Take some chunks out, leave some chunks in, kind of just move around, mess around. Do some cool, like segments. Like, all right, in this next segment, we're going to be talking about the different beer styles. And just kind of like shorten it, sweeten it, make it
perfect.
Condense it, make it.
It's compressed. That editing that's kind of really.
Yeah, makes it. Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure. That's Jesse. Jesse's the madman behind the
editing. Editing makes it so that you don't sound like you're just talking.
Right.
All right. So the original Five Alive. Ready, guys? Orange, lemon, grapefruit, tangerine, lime.
Whoa. We should do that.
Let's do that.
We should do a milkshake five. Okay, well, maybe we shouldn't even put that on the air.
We should do that for a competition.
Competition.
Make me make an IPA, and I'm going to make you make a Belgian.
I think you guys need to compete because the styles are too subjective. You know what I mean?
As far as what?
Like, maybe somebody doesn't like Belgians.
Where you almost,
to really have a true competition, you need to be at the same
style. Or you could just take the same country, like an English, a Belgian, or a German.
Right. Sure.
Something. I like the internal competition. Yeah. Like,
oh, yeah.
Competition is what brings everybody along. Like, I like that.
Yeah, because it pushes us to make it better. You know?
Right. And like we're pushing, it's like that last couple percent. Most people won't notice it, but we do.
Right.
All right, we're headed into beer number 3.
This is our fourth beer.
Four.
Yeah. We're going to go dark. We're going dark. So here's the issue with this beer. It's going to be a little flat because I could only pour half a growler. Okay. It exploded on me and went all through my hair. And
this is on a Czech lager side pull faucet. It's designed for pouring like a really creamy head.
So the side pull is like the new hipster thing, you know, where everybody was into pour over coffees for a while. Okay. This is like that in the beer world, and it looks awesome. You'll have to come. The faucet is like twice the size as the other ones, and you basically just want, you know, we do it to get that creaminess.
So great for beer in the pint. We're not going to serve this one by the growler. We're not going to sell it by the growler.
Okay.
This is just on site, on premise.
Now, what did you call this? What's the name? Take me back to that part.
This is a Schwarz beer. So this is actually one of the oldest beer styles. I was looking into this a little bit. So they'd done an archaeological study, and they found this black beer that had been brewed like from 3,000 years ago. And it was brewed in the same region where this Schwarz beer, which means black lager, beer. So it's a black lager where it comes from. So this has been brewed for thousands of years in Germany. Wow. So this is one of the oldest, potentially one of the oldest beer styles.
Wow, the malt's nice. Almost like that kind of coffee taste and feel, but not even close to the bitterness at all. Oh, like no. The bite you get with like an espresso or coffee, not even close, way left center. Almost like a chocolatey, dark chocolate, very rich, sweet malt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a very nice,
bitter,
and clean.
Like a bitter.
And did you say lager?
Yeah, this is a lager.
See? Yeah, for sure. It definitely has those sweet aromatics. Wow, this is nice. This is something special. This is real
this
different.
Is really this is really different. Like, this is really unique. We've never done anything like it.
Yeah, this is definitely interesting. What took you into this direction? How did this come about?
Martin, you brewed the Schwarzbier. We sometimes get confused over who brewed what, but Martin brewed this one.
So, Martin's like, I don't forget.
They just all blend in. It's just like,
after a while,
which one did I do? Which one did you do? It's good that we both make good beer.
For sure.
Chelsea doesn't let us fight too much.
I mean, you guys yeah. get along.
So we like to
you
have
guys a, respect yeah. each other. That's the important thing,
right.
You know?
Yeah. That's I'm the process guy. He's like recipe
yeah, we
kind of guru.
George is more research-based.
Yeah, he likes to like make these weird spreadsheets. And
Martin likes to make this weird equipment.
Yep, right, yeah. Exactly. That's
for sure.
That's and guess what? They blend. So
yeah, yes. And the efficiency. So like Martin came in, and George is a clean freak in the brew room,
right.
But like Martin took it to an extreme level, and not just that, but like he made it look cool. Like I don't know what device you have down. If you come into the brew pub, check it out in the brew room. There's like a stainless steel thing with copper pipes to like hide some of the. You know, the backstory behind
right,
the
yeah.
scenes stuff. It's awesome. So cool. Yeah. Martin's helping us on our new sign.
I appreciate them letting me. What did I say? What was the first thing I said? Oh, the first time I brewed, I was like, thanks for letting me drive your Mercedes.
Right. Pretty much.
And they're right. like, they texted me and they're like, it's so clean in here. I'm like, you let me drive your Mercedes.
Right. Yeah, right. You let me bring your setup. That's big. That's huge stuff.
Yeah, it is. Especially that's for a home brewer. It's just yeah. like, that's every home brewer's dream.
Right. Yeah. The full setup, the full scale, making it right. happen. And that is something that is special about your setup, the size and the scale.
Yeah, so we're just 3.5 barrels, about 100 gallons a batch. So it allows us to really experiment and try new things every time we brew. And we go through the beer pretty fast. Some beers are built for the shelf life,
right.
like wines. But most beer doesn't have the shelf life that wine does. So
right.
typically better, fresher. So.
Right, and that's your element. You yeah. know, come and get it now or you right. might not get it.
Yeah.
You have to wait because it's availability on a per... brew cycle basis.
Right.
And you know, so as you rotate and get through stuff and get back to that beer, you know, you might have something else that's up next. You might have a setup to brew something. So you might not get back to that beer that just that just tapped, you know. So
and we're just getting back around to some of those beers after a couple of years. So
right.
we're finding some of our favorites, the beers that we like and the beers that our customers like. And I think some of those we'll try to bring back maybe once a year and continually try to experiment with some new recipes and hone others.
Right.
I mean, some places don't have that luxury of being able to brew so many different things. It's like they're on a production-based thing. They need to brew 100 barrels of that, and then they need to turn around and brew 100 barrels again
right.
of the same thing.
Right.
We don't do... I mean, our business is the tap room. We
right.
want to see people. We're not in the business of just selling it to go and drink at your house. I mean,
right.
I know with COVID, we kind of had to get into that a bit, but we want to hang out. We want to talk beer. We want to see you. We want to see your kids running around. You know, that's kind of where we're at.
Right. Makes sense. Yeah. Definitely a cool style and approach to what you do. And I definitely love this. What's the name again? Schwarzbier?
Yeah, Schwarzbier.
Schwarz.
Ah,
all
so
right, cool.
Yeah, black beer.
And
so,
do you know any of
really
the main,
good.
Like, mainstream?
Black lager. So it is a lager.
It is.
Yeah.
We actually have quite a few lagers on the list, and we probably won't do that too much more in the summer. Lagers take so long to finish, and you need to ferment them longer and at cooler temperatures.
Okay.
Right. It's usually twice as long as an ale production.
Yeah.
So a lot of times in the summer, we need to keep those fermenters open. We got to keep brewing. We got people coming in. But in the winter, when we brewed these, you know, we could afford to take, we had more time.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is on our number 5 tap for our dark beers. Normally you think porters and stouts, but going into the summer with the heat, we wanted something a little bit lighter, but was still dark, and that's kind of where the Schwarz beer fits in.
Yeah, I like this a whole lot. Sweet. What was the percentage on this one? Or like a roundhouse?
5.3.
It was in the 5.
5.3?
Yeah.
That sounds right.
5.3.
All right.
So 22 IBUs, so...
All right. Okay. Nice.
To compare that, it'd be like, it's less than the German Pils.
Okay.
In bitterness. But see the perception of bitterness, though, in like the terminology of international bittering units.
Right.
It's kind of hard to explain to somebody because, for one, it's subjective to your own tongue.
Right. Yep.
And then process, too, will change how that character will come through.
Right. Yeah.
And everything on that scale was built around like boil hops, like... What hops you use, how much you put in, and then how long you boil it for. But now with IPAs and new age hops and dry hopping and whirlpool hopping, everything's kind of thrown out the window. So IBUs have become less and less meaningful, I'm afraid.
Right, for sure. So that's that. All right. Where are we headed to next? You got another one for me.
We better rinse that out. So if you give me a minute, I will go do it.
Yeah, and this, rinse. I think, is this one our last one?
Raspberry sorbet.
Yeah.
We move into the finale, and what number is this going to be?
This is going to be on tap number 6, our fruited and sour.
Oh, man. These are going to hit huge, I think.
Oh, my.
This spring and summer, the fruited sours.
I've been prepping George, like, be ready because this is going to sell like crazy.
Yeah.
So we had the raspberry sorbet one other time, and I'd have to double check, but I want to say this is one of our top rated beers on Untappd, if not the number one. See what you think. And the color is gorgeous. The color has come through for sure.
This is delicious.
This is nice.
I mean, you can smell the tartness. You can smell like that raspberry pie tart.
Yeah. And that's what makes it fun. I think with sours is that tartness. That's what makes the experience what it is. And attracts people to it. For instance, we have this Maddie Kay. She works here with us now, and she just started to get into the beer realm, and she's a fan of fruited sours. That seems to be like her niche.
Oh,
that's like
that.
That's what she likes the most. That's like what she's attracted to, and that's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of young women, you know, getting into the world of beer, tasting, and just that fruit. It's welcoming and inviting. So I think when people read into that, they're like more prone to give it a try.
For sure. I think it's an entry level. I mean, the sour is not very entry level, that flavor. However, the fruit is completely crowd pleasing.
Right. It's tart, but not overwhelming. I've had sours, two, three sips. You're like, okay, I've had enough, moving to something else.
Oh yeah, this you could drink.
You can have a couple, and they'd be quite enjoying. I like it a lot. So what went into this? How did this come to be?
So, yeah, this was a lot of experimentation, too. We've experimented with different types of bacteria, lactobacillus. There's different strains of that. So this was our third different strain that we tried for the sour. And I really like it. I think it kind of produces a really clean sour. And then it really allows a raspberry to shine through. As Martin mentioned, orange is one of the fruits that really comes through. Raspberries and cherries. Peaches to a lesser extent, but those are some of the fruits that really shine through fermentation.
Okay.
So that raspberry really comes across bright. And this was... So we just made one barrel batch, and we added 42 pounds of raspberry puree. Like, the raspberry was amazing. It's just like chewing on like ultra-ripe raspberries.
Yeah, wow. we get our fruit from Oregon Fruit. And it's legit amazing stuff.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, source and fine ingredients.
This raspberry is really popping through.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
It's very floral, robust, very clean, and tasty, juicy, bright, fun.
Yeah, I feel like you get even a little bit of like that raspberry. Like when you have the raspberry seeds stuck in your teeth and you chew on them, you get a little bit of that like extra like raspberry bite. Like it has
it's
even
like
that
a little
flavor.
Seed tannin.
Yes, exactly.
For sure. That hits it on the head. Yep, the seed tannin, for sure. That flavor profile.
Right.
And that is what you expect with just a raspberry traditionally. Like, if you pop a handful in your mouth, they're sweet up front, but then you get that tart, a little bit of sour in the middle.
And a little dryness, too,
right, yeah.
at the end.
And so we added a little bit of lactose. It's a little tart between the strawberries and the lactic acid. So a little bit of lactose to kind of balance it out.
With raspberries.
Oh, sorry, with the raspberries. And it kind of gives it a little bit of a little bit more smoothness and creaminess to it.
Right.
Also.
Yeah.
What's the, oh, that's Linnemans, right? Linnemans Creek Lambic.
Yes.
This is like, kind of reminds me of that in a sense.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's not for like sure straight up, because that's like, they consider them the most approachable lambic brewers because they back sweeten their stuff.
Right.
So it's like, it's not super true to style or culture, but people like sweet.
But they're popular.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Especially around here. Like, yeah, this area loves sweet.
It's enjoyable. It's easy to get into if you don't understand a sour.
Right.
This can be explained fairly easily, you know, to the average everyday consumer. Somebody's just looking to have a drink, or they're unfamiliar with what a sour is. You introduce them to this, they might become a fan of it. They might like it more than a lot of other options. It's fruit forward, which is huge, especially when we get into the warmer months. That's what people are looking for.
And we hope that people can just come in and try it. If they don't want to order a whole glass, no worries. Just have a sip of it.
Right.
Try something new. We give out samples like nonstop. And that's a big thing. You know, it brings you into a whole different world. Maybe you'll try something you've never had before. But I think my kombucha drinkers, actually this beer... Kombucha is like a gateway for this beer.
Right, for sure. For sure, yeah. A lot of elements of kombucha right there in that glass, for sure. Awesome stuff.
And if you don't like hops, this has zero IBUs. hops and bacteria don't play well together, so can't use any hops in the process. Otherwise, the bacteria won't kick into action.
Yeah, hops are like, they clean the beer almost.
They're antimicrobial for a lot of beers, for a lot of different strains.
And there you have it.
For lacto. Cool.
Right.
Yeah.
There you have it. Interesting stuff. So they can find all these at Mechanistic Brewing Company. Now, will you be doing the takeout options, growler fills? I know you commented on certain beers that won't be available for growler fills, but most
oftentimes
they're not.
So that Pilsner that you, the Pilsner, the Belgian Wit, the IPA, all of those are available for growler fills. Once we get our four beer, we have a malty beer coming, the Dunkelweizen. Right. Whenever that little beer is ready to go, another lager.
Right.
Whenever she's ready to go, then we'll do growler fills of that too. But the Schwarz beer, since we have it on the side pool, is that what it's called? A side pool faucet? Really difficult to growler up. So that's just on premise. And... what else, George?
The raspberry sorbet is going to be on premise, we think, too.
Right.
All right. So there you have it. Okay. Just to revise the people, what are your hours and how can they get additional information to stay up to date on the latest with Mechanistic
Brewing
Company?
I'm so glad you asked, Esville, because I've been working really hard on our new website.
Okay.
MechanisticBrewing.com.
Okay.
As simple as that.
All right.
Also, we're really active on Instagram and Facebook. I don't even know what people do on TikTok, so we're not on anything like that.
Not
or
yet,
Snap.
At least, right?
You can only have so much time. Right? So it's not my style. But Instagram, Facebook, and then our new website that we're launching that will have our updated menu, and you can see all of that stuff.
Right.
And a description.
Okay.
So we're going to have that. So this Friday and Saturday... April 9 and 10 from 4 till 9.
All right.
And then just pay attention because those hours are going to change and evolve as the weather gets warmer, as things go on and everybody gets more comfortable. So.
Right. And Spatula Monkey, what will we be seeing from you? What's going to be happening in that barbecue realm?
We're going to try to be at Mechanistic once a month.
Okay.
On a Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
And then possibly... interject some other dates in there too.
What is that menu looking like this weekend?
What's all the? Well, we got,
lay it on me. Lay it.
We got some brisket.
Ooh,
and some pulled chicken.
Oh wow!
And then we're gonna do some baked beans. We're gonna bring back the bourbon cornbread.
Mm.
And then
you didn't do brisket that much last year, right?
So
this is,
COVID,
I've been missing it.
COVID like destroyed beef prices last year.
Right. Yeah. Through the roof.
So it was like eight. It was like up to $8 or $9 a pound for brisket.
Right.
So I just, you couldn't buy it really.
right.
to make anything, you know, worthwhile.
Right, right, yeah.
So everything, unfortunately, everything is coming back down. Everything is kind of mellowing out on food prices. So hopefully we'll be able to keep bringing it back. Because it's the brisket is like one of the bigger selling.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Pieces of barbecue.
Yeah.
But people still like their pulled pork too. So I'd like to maybe divulge out of the normal box of barbecue and maybe bring in some steaks one night.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we did some sous vide steaks down at the brew pub one night that were really good.
Lamb chops. I'm a lamb fan, so.
Likewise.
You know,
you do duck too.
Oh, I just had lamb chops like 2 days ago. Don't get me started. They're like, oh my goodness, just the most delicious morsels ever.
Absolutely.
My goodness.
We need some Jamaican lamb chops.
Oh my goodness.
I'm
jerk.
Ready for...
Oof. My goodness.
Yeah, you got to get into some Caribbean flavors.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be hot. Yeah. It'll be hot. Marinate it. It'll be great. But yeah, okay. So lots to look forward to. Spatula Monkey. Going to be on the grill. You'll be there from 4 to 9 also, right?
Yep, 4 to 9 both nights.
We've been working really hard to book those Fridays and Saturdays with food. So even though we don't, I mean, sometimes we do food in-house, but we always are trying to book other vendors. I've got Fusion Cafe from Brookville coming. Okay. I got Table 105. I've got the Brick Oven.
Okay.
Randy and his team with the pizzas. I got Martin booked. Couple other fun things in there. You know, fundraisers and things like that. So,
so you'll be
we
making
really
it happen.
Do, even though we don't have a set menu, get on Instagram, Facebook, or our website and check out the specific food for that weekend.
All right. So there you have it. Taking it deeper than the pint. Very special guest. Thank you for coming on board with me.
Thanks
for letting me into your world on how it all works, what we can expect from Mechanistic Brewing Company today, tomorrow, and the future. And Martin, thank you so much for coming on board and giving us all that information about the process. How it works, and the details and the barbecue. Super excited about that brisket. All right, thank you all. Later. All right,
thanks, Ezra.
All right.